Welcome to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. Whether you know the darkness of depression yourself or have supported someone in their pain, you've come to the right place. My mission is to empower you to take control of your mental health because nothing else in this entire world matters more. If you're listening in the midst of depression right now, I hope this show gives you assurance that you are not alone and that life doesn't have to be so hard. But you must first desire to feel better and get better. This podcast is a step in the right direction. If you're listening because you're walking alongside someone dealing with depression, thank you. You can always find me on Instagram at jana.cohn and be sure you're subscribed to my email list in the show notes so you never miss an episode. Together, we can flip the script on mental health. Enjoy. Welcome back to another episode. This episode today is going to be about all things ketamine. And if we are connected on Instagram, if not, please do follow and reach out. I love to connect with you all. My Instagram handle is my first and last name. It's jana.cohn. I'll also link it in the show notes. But if you have been connected with me for any length of time now, or perhaps you are just finding this podcast and particularly this episode because you are interested in ketamine, I want to give you first a little bit of background. And the reason I share my Instagram handle with you is because back in the fall, so right now as I am recording this, it is January, and back in the fall, in September, I started a series of ketamine treatments, ketamine IV infusions. And prior to that, I had been active on social media and had shared a little bit about my mental health. And I've always been very open with people in my life and online about being a proponent of medication and not being ashamed of any mental health diagnosis that you have. And for me, that was depression. I've always been open about it. I have been medicated for depression and diagnosed since 2009. And if you want that backstory on my depression diagnosis, I go over all of that in the first episode of this show. So go back to episode one if you want a little backstory there. But I started sharing on my social media about how my depression had gotten pretty bad. However, I also knew that I had tried every medication you could imagine. I had done tons of therapies. I had read all the books. I was to a point to where I thought, this is just what it is. I've tried everything. I was at a point of hopelessness with my depression ever getting any better. That is where I was back in the fall when I decided to treat my depression with ketamine. And I'm going to give you a little backstory on how I found out about ketamine, what it is, how it works. However, I'm going to preface that by telling you Shocker, I am no scientist or medical professional. And so the way I am going to describe ketamine to you is not going to be scientific. It is going to be in layman's terms in the way that it was described to me at the ketamine clinic where I went to, and I'm just going to describe it in words that make sense to the average person. There are tons of resources out there that explain how ketamine works chemically on the brain, and I will have someone, probably a few people coming on the show that are going to talk about that. That's their forte, but this is really going to be my perspective, my personal experience with ketamine, and I'm also going to get into detailing and explaining what the actual ketamine trip, as in psychedelic trip, is like visually, emotionally, physically. I know a lot of you want to know that, but if you would like some true behind the scenes of when I was going through the ketamine infusions, you will want to go to my Instagram, and I have a series of highlights on Instagram. Highlights are the little bubbles at the top of the profile. You will see, I think I have like 7 or 8 highlights now called K-Therapy 1, 2, 3, and so forth. And I documented in stories in real time as I was going through infusions. So daily, I was on stories giving updates. I was having really heartfelt, meaningful conversations with women and men of all ages, from all backgrounds. Some just simply with their support. Some telling me, oh my gosh, me too. Many saying, thank you for talking about this. Some saying, you know, I had no idea you suffered with this so badly. It was a transformative time in my life, to put it very, very mildly. And the start of my ketamine infusions, I will say, sparked this whole time period of transition where I really stepped into this calling on my life to be more vocal and have more of a stance in the mental health world, because I saw such a need. I was overwhelmed by the love and support from many of you listening, of just interest in general of what I was going through and wanting to know more, because ketamine still to this day is not very well known in terms of it treating depression. And we're going to get into that. But it is still fairly new. And so it was clear to me that there was a need for more resources out there, more platforms on social media, talking about mental health, talking about ketamine. And so that led to eventually this podcast. So in the show, you know, we're throughout the many episodes here, it's not going to be all ketamine related, of course. It is more broad than that, but we are going to have several ketamine experts on the show. And what I found when I started researching the psychedelic side of therapies for whether it's depression, anxiety, PTSD, OCD, postpartum, depression, anxiety, whatever it is, what I found was that there were two ends of the spectrum. One was very clinical, and dare I say, over my head when it came to reading about, you know, how any psychedelics, ketamine, for instance, worked on the brain. It was like very scholarly. Or the other end of the spectrum was very pro-psychedelic, anti-medication, just out there in the psychedelic world. Nothing against either end of the spectrum. Love them both. However, I did not find anything as a happy medium in the middle of a normal person, quote unquote normal, I guess, a normal average person living life day to day, walking through depression and documenting their experience in real time. So that is what I did, and I just kind of surrendered to that process and said, you know, I'm going to share as I feel called to. And the response was just overwhelmingly welcoming. So that is why we're here. I could not have planned or orchestrated this in any terms of a strategy. So, highly encourage you to look at those highlights. You will get a behind-the-scenes view of what it was like going through treatments and my raw, honest feedback in real time. So definitely check those out. But let's dive in to ketamine. And from a very high level view, I'm going to give you the basics on what ketamine is, how it works, and then we're going to dive into my personal experience with it and what I experienced, and it's pretty wild. So hopefully you're going to hang on for all of this. All right. So ketamine as a drug is nothing new. Ketamine has been around since the 70s. It is an FDA-approved drug. You see it actually a lot in pediatric medicine for anesthesia. It is a dissociative anesthetic, is the medical term for it. And I'm going to get into what that means. So I had heard of ketamine before, and my boyfriend is an ER nurse, and I had heard of him speak of ketamine before. So I was familiar with the drug. It's a party drug as well. Sometimes you'll hear it called, you know, Special K. So I wasn't new to ketamine. However, I was totally new to ketamine in terms of what the heck it does for anyone suffering with depression. And a term that was new to me when I first looked into ketamine was treatment-resistant depression. And I identified with that term so deeply because that is how I felt. I felt that I had tried every treatment, every drug, every sort of therapy for my depression, and nothing worked. So that term, maybe it resonates with you, that treatment-resistant depression is what ketamine can work so brilliantly for. However, ketamine has not been approved by the FDA to treat depression or PTSD, or any other mental illness. Therefore, it is in 90% of cases not covered by insurance, which is a whole nother rabbit hole, not for this episode. So it can be costly, and my infusions were. However, I do foresee in hopefully the not so distant future, this changing as psychedelics are gaining more mainstream attention and researchers at Johns Hopkins and Yale are looking into the future of psychedelics for mental health. I think that we are on the cusp of a huge change in the mental health field because of this. So ketamine's not new. And in the 90s, there was an accidental discovery that patients who were administered ketamine before surgery as part of their anesthesia woke up with a better affect, a better demeanor. They seemed to be happier than patients that didn't get administered ketamine. So that kind of raised an eyebrow. And researchers looked into it and realized that ketamine triggers the release of this neurotransmitter called glutamate. And that stimulates growth of new synapses between brain cells. Okay, what the heck does that mean? Synapses are the connections in the brain cells that promote neuroplasticity. So neuroplasticity is a fancy term for actually changing your neuropathways in your brain. That is where the patterns come from in our thinking, in our habits, the way that we act emotionally, our thoughts, our objective and subjective thoughts is all from our neuropathways in our brain. So what ketamine does, and the way it was described to me when I went in to the ketamine clinic locally here, I'm in Greenville, South Carolina, by the way, is that over time, our neuropathways are like a fishing net. And over time, if you suffer with depression, for instance, the fishing net becomes less and less strong. Think of it like a rope that gets frayed and frazzled over time. And so what ketamine does is it comes in and it strengthens those neuropathways, strengthens those synapses in our brain to increase neuroplasticity, to help our brains create new neuropathways that have been non-existent since we've suffered with depression and chronic stress. So ketamine is really a freaking amazing drug. Like, can I get an amen? Like I said, I'm no scientist. I'm going to have experts come on the show that are going to explain ketamine to you in a much more eloquent, educated fashion. But that is, in a nutshell, how I would describe it to someone. And just as a side note here, which is really interesting, and we're going to have more conversations about this, is that SSRIs and traditional antidepressant medications work on the neurotransmitter serotonin, which you're probably familiar with. And like I said, ketamine works on the neurotransmitter glutamate. So we are talking a whole new class of an antidepressant medication. So to say it is groundbreaking and new is an understatement. What is so incredible about ketamine is that it is very fast acting. It has been administered to suicidal patients because as soon as they get the ketamine, their thoughts of suicide and suicidal tendencies ease up. So it works immediately. So if you have ever been on any antidepressants, you know these medications take time. They take 3 or 4 weeks or longer. And when you are depressed and when you are in a low state, you and I both know 3 or 4 weeks might as well be a lifetime. So ketamine is for those who suffer with treatment-resistant depression. Ketamine is not your first go-to if you suffer with depression. And I think most clinics, from what I have done in my research, do a really good job of vetting those who would be a candidate for ketamine. I would not recommend ketamine to everyone. It is not your first line of treatment. It is for those with treatment-resistant depression. It is very fast-acting in that when you get the ketamine, and there are a few different ways it can be administered. You can get ketamine through IV, which is what I did. Ketamine is also available in a nasal spray, which is very expensive. I think it is only available by Johnson & Johnson, possibly. It's called Spravato. And then there is a company called MindBloom. And MindBloom is actually the first company I heard of that offered ketamine. And I'll explain to you how I heard about that. But MindBloom offers ketamine in the form of pill. And they send it to your house. I think they're available in most 50 states, not all, but I will link MindBloom in the show notes, and their website's incredible. You can learn more about ketamine. They send it in pill form to your home, and you do a session while you have, you know, a trained professional on video conference with you. However, the pill form and nasal spray are not as strong as getting ketamine through IV, obviously. So you have some different options if you're looking into ketamine, and you have to decide what is the best method for you. For me, I wanted to be as aggressive as possible, because I was at such a point with my depression that I had to do something that was different, that I'd never done before. And the thought of ketamine gave me hope for the first time in a while. And how I heard of it originally, and I say this quite often if you've listened to any of the other episodes, is I don't believe that you can fight your depression alone. I believe that you need to tell someone, that you need to share it with the people in your life. And I practice what I preach, because I was sharing about my depression and what I was going through with my friend Allison. And she said, you know, I suffered with awful postpartum depression. And she told me, she said, the only things that worked for me were microdosing and ketamine. And I said, say what? Microdosing with psilocybin mushrooms I had heard of. And I had actually started to look into that and had started microdosing when I started the IV ketamine. And I'm going to do a whole nother episode, many of them, on microdosing and psilocybin. So we'll table that for another time. But I said, ketamine. I've heard of ketamine. I'd heard of it, like I said, from my boyfriend in the ER. And she said, yeah, I went through a company called Mindbloom. And I hung on to that. And I was like, I'm going to look this up. And I did immediately. And I could not find a ton about ketamine. I went to Mindbloom's website. It's wonderful. And then I started looking into other ways to get ketamine. And I found a local clinic. I went to Greenville Ketamine Center. If you are in the upstate South Carolina area, I highly recommend them. Can't say enough good things about them. I will also link their website in the show notes. So I found a local infusion clinic and I called. And I will say, when you get to that point where you are considering ketamine, you're willing at that point to try anything to make yourself feel better. But I absolutely was nervous about making the phone call, one, to the clinic to get information, to get on the schedule, to find all the info out. I was nervous to do that. And then they sent me all the paperwork and I printed it out. And it was basic, you know, background information. I printed it out and it sat on the floor beside my desk for at least a week before I even looked at it, because I just was at a point where I was like, something else. Here we are again, have to try something else. So I tell you that because I want you to know, if you are considering ketamine, please know that you getting cold feet is 1000% normal. But I want you to hang on to the hope that this could work for you. And it worked wonderfully for me, and I'm going to get into that and explain it to you. So I also started looking online to listen to podcasts to figure out, okay, how does ketamine work? What are the chances that this could work for me? And I found, through Instagram, I found a podcast, and I'll link this in the show notes as well. See You on the Other Side is the name of the podcast, and the two hosts have become great friends of mine through this whole journey, and they had an episode on ketamine. And they had the CEO of a well-known ketamine clinic with many locations. I think they're out of Louisville, Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. They did a podcast interview with their CEO, and she explained ketamine to me in a way that gave me such hope. I sat down one night with a notebook, and I listened to that podcast episode and I took 6 pages of notes, because she explained how ketamine works on our brains in no scientific terms. She explained it, and what she said, I wrote down some of this, and like I said, I'm going to link this episode in the show notes, because if you're considering ketamine, please go and listen to it. She said that ketamine puts your brain into a neutral state. It puts your brain into that neutral state before things happened to you, traumas, depression, whatever it may be, that gave you a positive or negative correlation. So, in the way that ketamine puts our brains into a neutral state, that's how it disassociates for us. And every person, she described it as this. She said, every person has a subjective and objective piece in their brain based on their experience. So subjective is, you know, how you feel about something, and objective is how you view something. So ketamine separates the two, the subjective and the objective, and allows the subjective memory to come up. So it allows the feelings to come up. But then because of the ketamine, you are able to objectively process it. It's why a lot of people will describe ketamine as giving you a third person perspective. And what I also liked about ketamine is that it wasn't something that I had to control. Ketamine, the medicine, the psychedelic portion of it does the work for you. The medicine does the work, and it puts your brain where it needs to go. And then you're able to process all of this information in your subconscious while you're on the ketamine. So that, in a nutshell, is how I learned about it. Then I contacted my local ketamine clinic. And if you are looking into ketamine, what I would recommend you do is Google your closest nearest city. And, you know, so I put in Greenville, South Carolina Ketamine Clinics, and I found Greenville Ketamine Center. These treatment centers are becoming more and more popular. So typically when you do a ketamine IV treatment, you commit to 9 infusions. 6 to 9 has been the common number across the board in any clinics I have looked into. And so the first 6 infusions had to be done within 2 weeks. So if you're looking at 2 weeks, which is 14 days, right? These clinics are businesses that are open Monday through Friday. So you are looking at 6 infusions in 10 days if you factor out weekends. So it is a time commitment. When I tell you that you need to plan for at least 24 hours to be devoted to your infusion, the actual infusion and time after, you need to devote a minimum of 24 hours to that infusion. That, I think the time and cost is a huge factor for people getting ketamine. Thank God I work from home. Thank God I have a support system that could help me, because you cannot drive after you've had the ketamine infusions. I came home and I slept. I mean, I freaking passed out after these infusions. And for me, in general, I require more sleep. I can nap with the best of them. So I don't know if that had something to do with it too. So it could affect every person differently. You know, if you're someone that just get 6-7 hours of sleep a night and is fine with that, you might bounce back quicker. I don't know. But in my experience, I would have the infusion, and the infusion itself, from start to finish, walking into the office and out of the office, I was out of there in 90 minutes. So the infusion itself doesn't last that long. However, afterwards, you are extremely lethargic. I was always hungry, always had my go-to snack. I had a Coca-Cola and a Rice Krispie treat, and I was the happiest girl in the world. And then I would sleep in a dark room with an eye mask and a red light. Just because your brain is literally being changed. So in my journal, I kept a journal throughout all of these infusions. And I would write before and after each infusion, I would write down how I was feeling. And in one of my journal entries, I was looking through it. It said, I feel like my brain is on fire. And it didn't hurt. It wasn't a painful thing, but I felt like I could physically feel my brain changing. Now, I don't think that there's any fact to that actually happening as far as, like, you know, feeling it. I don't think you can really feel it. But I just want to get the message across to you that it is a commitment. So we did 6 infusions in 10 days. They really sucker punch it to you at first. And like I said, the infusions are expensive. The first couple ones were in the $400 range per infusion. And then after you reached a certain number of infusions and any maintenance infusions thereafter, the price dropped down to $300 and something. So you did the first 6 infusions in 10 days, and then you had to commit to another 3. So you had a total of 9 infusions. And the 7th, 8th, and 9th infusion, they spaced them out. So the 7th infusion was a week after the 6th infusion. And then the 8th infusion was like 2 weeks after the 7th infusion. And then it was spaced out to 3 weeks. So you're sucker punched with a bunch of infusions at first. And then they spaced them out for 7, 8, and 9. So all in all, I had infusions the month of September, October, and the beginning of November, I think. So it was such a commitment, time-wise and money-wise, but I was at a point where I was willing to do anything. So know all of that going in. Mind Bloom, I think, is a little different. I'm not sure how their dosage is set up and what the downtime is. Like I said, I think it's going to be different for every person, but you can compare cost and, you know, your reality to that as well. But I know that you want to know what the actual infusions were like. And let me tell you, it was wild. It was wild. I'm gonna attempt to explain this to you. And if you have never done any sort of psychedelic drug before, mushrooms or, I don't know, anything else, then I could possibly see how it might be a little scary to you just because it's unknown and our bodies want to keep us safe, right? But I will tell you, nothing about my experience was scary. It was beautiful. And I say that literally and figuratively. So The room itself, and I'm sure all clinics are different, but somewhat similar. I was in a cozy, comfy recliner. I highly recommend you take a blanket. Take a cozy blanket. I have these cozy slipper socks. I took those. I took a blanket. And I took my pillow, which has a really soft, silky pillowcase, because I wanted to be comfortable and cozy. They put me in a private room and they dimmed the lights, and I was in a recliner that reclined back and with the footrest. The room was dark. My clinic had a projector where there were like an LED projector with prisms on the ceiling of all different colors. The colors would change from purple to blue to green to red. They also had a TV in the room and had different scenes on the TV. I always liked underwater scenes. I'm sure you could do, you know, an outer space theme or nature scenes, anything like that. But that was my vibe. They also had some music in the room, kind of spa-like music. I have seen things where people will have specific ketamine playlist, so you could look into that as well and take your earbuds. Do whatever makes you comfortable. I always went in comfortable clothes, no makeup, didn't wear my contacts. You just want to go and be as comfortable as possible. And they do monitor your vital signs, so like blood pressure and I think a pulse ox, just for safety. And my clinic also gave me this necklace that had a button on it that was like a call bell for the nurse. And the staff also comes in the room every 20 to 30 minutes. So you feel very, very safe. That was important to me. They also told me that I was on camera the whole time. So I felt very safe. In the first infusion, I did have my boyfriend in the room with me just because I did not know what to expect, and it made me feel safer and more comfortable. However, they did tell him, and I'm so glad they did this. So if you are going to have treatments, remember this. They told him, since he was in the room with me, she is going to be removed from reality. If she talks to you, she's not going to make much sense. Her perception of time is going to be very skewed. You can engage with her if she engages with you, but don't try to carry on any sort of conversation. And they were spot on with that. I did, you know, I would ask him a few times, like, "Hey, I see you. Are you still in the room?" And he would just answer. But as far as engaging with me, that is not something that you want to have happen. And I really liked that aspect about ketamine. Whereas some psychedelic experiences, part of the processing and integration, it's often called, is having someone go through it with you. Kind of having the psychedelic experience on top of a talk therapy session at the same time. I didn't want that. That is one of the reasons why ketamine appealed to me. Now, with psilocybin, mushrooms, or anything else, a lot of times you will have, you know, some therapist or trained professional helping you with that integration. But ketamine was not like that. The medicine, the infusion, does all of that for you. So visually, for me, what I saw, Nothing was unpleasant. I was always in the room. I was always aware, like, I'm in this chair, I'm in this room, I could see the TV, I could see the window in the room, I could see the other chair, I could see the countertop. It wasn't for me. It wasn't like I was ever totally removed from reality. Well, I was completely moved from reality, but I mean visually, I could still see where I was. However, at the same time, I was in another place. And let me try to explain this. And it was different. Like I said, I've had 9 of these infusions, so it was different every time. So one time, I was in this giant white bouncy house, like blow-up house that kids jump in. I was inside this giant white bouncy house. In another one, I was flying over the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon was tropical, as if I was in Hawaii and water was spilling over the sides of the Grand Canyon. I was at one point in an old apartment that I used to have, but at the same time, I was still in reality. The nurses at the clinic would come in and check on me, and I would be able to correspond with them. I knew I was in the room. I knew I could press that button at any time and call the nurse in if I needed her. And they could always titrate the dose. So I was aware of that. I never felt out of body. It was never scary. And I think that is the most common misconception, is that it is going to be tragic and that you are going to experience something awful. And for me, that was never the case. I saw beautiful places, beautiful things. Everything was very colorful. My favorite color is purple. I saw a lot of purple and blues and greens. Nature scenes. What was on the TV, I think, was important because it, I think, guided where my brain was going visually. So if on the TV there was a butterfly, the butterfly would be flapping its wings, and then the butterfly would morph into a baby deer or something. I'm telling you, it's wild, but it was nothing unpleasant. There was nothing scary about it. So I just really, really, really want you to know that. There were key takeaways for sure. The key takeaways, some of them for me, were I saw a vision of myself helping others through the same sort of treatment. The word shaman came up for me as if I was a shaman helping others go through ketamine treatments for their depression. Now, I have never in my life had a goal or a vision to be a shaman of any sort, okay? But I do think that it birthed something in me to have this desire to walk with others going through this. Now, is that avenue now through this podcast? Perhaps. Do I see myself helping others navigate these situations? Absolutely. So, you know, maybe that was the key takeaway. Some other things did come up for me. Things that bother me or worry me, or that things that have been pivotal moments in my life did come up. And I'm not going to go into all of those here because it's deeply personal. But the biggest takeaway is that it is not scary. And a trip, a psychedelic trip, only becomes a bad trip when you are trying to control it. So remember that. This medicine, ketamine, is brilliant, and it is made to guide you and guide your subconscious brain down the path that it needs to go down. And it is made to work on your psyche and the things that it needs to work on. In a way, I would tell you that it is miraculous, because I absolutely believe that it allowed me to break through some dark parts of my life and things that I've dealt with the depression. So I am a fan. I am a big fan. I can't recommend it enough. I do believe, equally as important as the infusions themselves, are what you do after, your integration. For me, the ketamine clinic where I went to recommends a particular psychiatrist. And not all psychiatrists and trained mental health professionals are even up to date on ketamine or psilocybin or any of the other, you know, groundbreaking psychedelics that are, you know, getting more and more attention now. A lot of psychiatrists are not even on the up and up. So finding a professional that is well versed in these new types of treatments is very important. So after I completed the infusions, I got in with a new psychiatrist, someone that was familiar with ketamine, that knew I had completed all of the infusions, and I could just pick up with them right where I was. And deciding what you are going to do after the infusions is the other part, because we are so used to a society that says, hey, here's this medication, here's this pill, take it every morning or take it every night before bed, and you're just going to take that pill for the rest of your life or until you stop taking this medication, but it's once a day, every day. Ketamine is different in that there is no specified dosage for everyone. So for instance, some people, after they do 9 infusions, decide, hey, I'm gonna be best to do an infusion every month or every other month. There isn't a specific standard practice for how often you should get the infusions. And so that's really why I wanted to see a psychiatrist, in that I knew I had done all this work and invested all this money to do ketamine infusions. Now I wanted to be sure, hey, I want to make sure I'm staying in a good place. I want to be sure that I'm recognizing the signs when I might start feeling depressed again. How do I do that? How do I go about that? So each person is going to be unique. And what I decided to do with the help of my psychiatrist was I have now transitioned to ketamine nasal spray. Because I had such great results with the ketamine infusions. And overall, I will say I believe ketamine left me feeling more uplifted. Just my entire perspective of life and what's really important and what really matters. And it just allowed me to cut all the shit in my life and trim the fat and really have a better perspective of what is important and not all of the minutiae that depression gets us so bogged down in. It just allowed me to see things in a different light. And I can't even describe it beyond that. But that is what ketamine has done for me. And so now I do the nasal spray in conjunction with an antidepressant. And I will continue that as long as I need to until there's something better that I like that works better. I don't know what that looks like. There is no cure for depression. Ketamine is not a cure. I wish it was. I do believe that it is very close to a cure, and I do believe it is a cure for anyone with suicidal thoughts. That has almost been proven. And my opinion on that piece of why I think it is so pivotal for anyone dealing with suicidal thoughts is that, and this sounds scary, but please hear me in that it is not scary. In the infusions, I was removed from my current reality and current life. It felt like I died in a way. And then when the infusion wore off, it felt like I came back to life and had another chance at life or had another opportunity at life. And so I think that anyone that's struggling with suicidal thoughts could greatly benefit from ketamine because I think it will give them that perception. Because when someone is considering suicide, they are at a point to where they think the only thing that can solve my problems is that I disappear. And ketamine allows for that, but brings you back. It's wild. It is really, really wild. And I am so grateful that I was able to do the treatments. I would wholeheartedly recommend it to anyone who is suffering with treatment-resistant depression. Look into clinics around you. You can look into MindBloom. But equally as important is having a mental health professional that is qualified and trained to know these options. For instance, the nasal spray that I'm on now is not the big box pharma version. It is a special compounded formula that my psychiatrist, who is up to date on all of these new methods, has access to. And it is very affordable per month. So there are options and there are treatments. And you get to decide how aggressive you want to be. And you get to decide what you do to turn your depression around. So I hope that I have covered the bases on ketamine. If you have more specific questions on ketamine in general, or have more specific questions on my personal experience with it, or need help finding a clinic or navigating this, please reach out to me. You can find me on Instagram. I also offer private one-on-one consults where we can talk more in depth about this and I can help you navigate. But please reach out. I hope this served you well, and I will see you next episode on Flip the Script. Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Flip the Script, a mental health podcast. I'm your host, Jana Cohn. If you'd like to talk with me one-on-one, I have private sessions available now to book in the show notes. And please, if this episode spoke to you in any way and you want to join me in flipping the script on mental health issues, the best thing you can do is leave a review on whatever platform you're listening from. Or take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and share to your social media. I'd also love to connect with you in the DMs on Instagram at jana.cohn. In the show notes, you can subscribe to my email list and never miss an episode. I'll see you here next time on Flip the Script.